Thank you for coming tonight. Good to be with you. I encourage you to get your Bible and come with us to the book of Joshua. Our study through the books of the Bible brings us to the book of Joshua. We sing songs about Joshua, don't we? Dare to stand like Joshua. The walls came tumbling down. Joshua is first mentioned in Exodus 17:9 as the victorious commander of the Israelites in their battle against the Amalekites at Rephidim. He was Moses' minister or servant, Exodus 24:13 and chapter 33:11. He appears in the book of Joshua, introduced in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He was one of the 12 spies sent to search the land of Canaan, Numbers chapter 13, and he would cause the children of Israel to inherit the land. In Deuteronomy 3 and verse 28, Moses was instructed but charged Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. And so the book of Joshua gets its name from its principal character, Joshua. The keynote is possession, and the key passage to go with that is Joshua 21, 43 through 45. Out beside the book of Joshua, I'd encourage you to write that word possession. I encourage you to write the keynotes with each of the book titles, and then those key passages. The book begins with events after the death of Moses in chapter 1 and ends in chapter 24 with the death of Joshua. It brings us into the sixth period of history, the period of conquest. The five previous history periods were the period before the flood, period after the flood, period of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, period of bondage in Egypt, which lasted 400 years. Then there was the period of wandering, 40 years in the desert, and now the period of conquest as the people pass over Jordan and conquer and take possession of the promised land. Have a brief outline of the book in your material. What's the benefit of having an outline like that? Jason?
You can look at that real quickly and get an idea if you're having your mind before trying to find
them. These outlines that have been provided for each book, you might like to have those in your Bible. Maybe you have enough space you could write that in, or just make a copy of that and put that in the with each book that you might have that. We begin our study tonight by calling attention to preparing to cross Jordan after the death of Moses. God charged Joshua in chapter 1 and verse 2. Now therefore rise. What's the next four words? Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God gave Joshua a brief description of the land and assurance of victory in verses 3 through 5. Notice in verse 2, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, and the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And what promise did God make to Joshua? Can you think of any better promise, any more comforting, assuring words than that statement in verse 5? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And God gave him some principles of spiritual success. Notice in verse 8, he said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Lots of volumes have been written about how to prosper and how to be successful. But I suggest none better than the principles outlined in Joshua 1, 6 through 9. There are eight of them. Eight rules or principles of spiritual success. What are they? What's the first one, Nicholas?
Be strong.
and of good courage. Verse 6. Verse 7. Be thou strong and very courageous. If you're going to be successful spiritually, you got to be strong. The New Testament calls upon Christians to be strong. When Paul talked about putting on the whole armor of God, he said, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord. That's where strength comes from. If you're going to be strong, you're going to have to be in the Lord. You can't be strong out of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. In those admonitions that were given to Christians in 1 Corinthians 16, 13, Paul said, be strong. He wrote to Timothy. He said, be strong. And you and I need that same admonition. But also we need to be very, very what? Courageous. Do you think taking the promised land would have required courage? Who was he facing? The Anakims, the giants. Remember, they struck terror in the hearts of most of those spies. We saw the giants. And you and I need to be very courageous when it comes to doing what the Lord says. It takes courage to stand for truth and right. It takes courage to earnestly contend for the faith. Be strong. Be very courageous. Another great principle is observe to what? To do. Observe to do according to what's a big little word there? All. Not just some of it. Not even most of it, but observe to do how much of it? All. You got to circle that word all. All the law. That reminds me of what the Lord said, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. If we're going to be successful spiritually, we've got to observe to do according to all that God says. And it'll be said of him, he left nothing undone. That's why he's so successful. He observed to do all that God said. Next, turn. If you're going to be successful, if you're going to prosper spiritually, turn not. Turn not from. Right? Verse 7. Turn not from it. What's it? The law. Don't turn from what God says. That shows that it's possible to turn from. He said, don't do that. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. If you can't turn to the right hand, you can't turn from the left, what are you going to do, Pete? Keep going straight. Stay on a straight path. Adhere to what the Lord said. Don't deviate from it. You know, deviation or departures often happen gradually. You got this straight line. And then just take another course, just minor. And the farther out you go, what happens? The farther away you get. At first, it's so subtle. You can't hardly see the difference. But longer time goes. And that's how it happens. People get so far off track. It happens gradually. They don't even realize it. Churches sometimes go off into error. Gradually. Slowly. If it happened where it's a big leap, people would probably object to it. We can't do that. But it happens little by little. And so you can't turn, even in the slightest, most minute way. You got to turn not to the right or to the left. Stay the course. What else? Turn not from. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So the book of the law is not to depart out of thy mouth. And what do you need to do day and night? Meditate therein. What's day and night indicate? Always? Constantly. It's important, isn't it? Day and night. That'll keep you from turning from. It'll help you to observe to do. Why do people turn from? Why don't they observe to do? Because the law has departed and they quit meditating in it. Next, verse 9, be not what? Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Neither be dismayed. What's that mean? Don't be dismayed. Discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Those are great principles, aren't they? You and I need to think about those and make application of those. If you want to prosper spiritually, you want to be successful, it'll take these eight things. I urge you to read Joshua 1, 6 through 9 frequently. You might want to write that out. Post it somewhere where you can and highlight those principles of spiritual success so you can keep those before your mind. Those would be key and crucial to Joshua's success in leading the Lord's people to take possession of the promised land. And those will be crucial to us today in making it where? To heaven, our promised land. What reminder did Joshua give to the Reubenites, Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh? Jared? Good. They were to pass before their brethren and help them. Then what? Return to their land, right? From verses 12 through 15. And I like their answer. They said, all that thou commandest us, what's the rest of that? We will do. If you'd been them, would you have made that statement? And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. We will do, and we will go. Whatever, wherever. That's an attitude of what? Obedience. And that's the attitude that you and I need to have tonight. And they said also, as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. And in verse 18, whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be what? Put to death. What a great statement. How many spies sent? Two. That's good, Cadence. Where? Yeah, verse 1 of chapter 2. Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. Where'd they lodge? Harlot's house named Rahab. Where do you read of her in the New Testament? Matthew 1:5. She's in the lineage to Christ, one of four women. Matthew 1:5. Where else? James 2, in the verse 25, in the context of faith and works. And Hebrews 11:31. By faith. Great example of faith and works. Upon what conditions would she be saved alive when Jericho was taken? What were the conditions? What was one of those, Paulie? Yes, a scarlet cord thread. Verse 18. When we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. That was one of the conditions. What was another one, Charles? Had to be in the house. Verse 19. It shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head. and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee, where? In the house. You have to highlight those words. It shows that God has always put his blessings in some place, and in this particular time, it was where? In Rahab's house. His blood shall be on our head if any hand be upon him. Then was there any other condition? Richard? Had to keep quiet about it. Different from us today. We can't keep quiet, right? We're to go and tell, go preach the gospel. But for her to be saved, she had to keep still. In verse 20, here's where it comes from. If thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. So those blessings were conditional. And that's the way it is today. Next, crossing Jordan. Since the children of Israel had not passed this way heretofore, how would they know the way by which ye must go? Jason? Good. The Ark of the Covenant went before the people, didn't it? Verse 6. Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. But I want you to be familiar with that expression in verse 4. That ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Are there some ways we've not passed heretofore? How are we going to know the way? Well, on this occasion, the Ark of the Covenant went before the people. What was in the Ark? The testimony, God's commandments. God's commandments went before his people. What goes before us to lead the way? The Lord and his word. That represented God's presence among his people. I think of Jeremiah 10:23. The way of man is not himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps. There are going to be some ways that you're going to have to pass. There are going to be things you're going to have to go through in this life that you've not experienced before. You've not been through anything like that. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe the death of a child, the death of a parent, the death of a spouse. You've not passed that way before. How do you deal with that? How do you handle that? Lots of things that come along. Some things come out of right field. You didn't see that coming. How do you deal with that? Haven't passed this way heretofore. Haven't been through anything like that. Where do you get your guidance? Where do you get your direction? How do you know what to do? It's like that song, Teach Me Thy Way. Oh Lord, teach me thy way. The law of the Lord gives us the direction that we need. Just because we've not passed that way before doesn't mean that the Lord's left us without instructions that'll give us the guidance that we need to know how to handle that. And we can draw strength from faithful Christians who have passed that way before. Talk to them. I know you've been through something like this. How do you handle that? How do you deal with it? I appreciate your good example. What's helped you? And no doubt they'll turn attention to the word of the Lord that gave them guidance. And they can help you as the law of the Lord is light and a lamp. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So just because you're going through something you've not experienced before doesn't mean other people haven't gone through similar circumstances. And you can find the guidance that you need, the help that you need. You can find the way that you need to go and how to deal with that through the Lord's word. He gives us the instruction that we need if we'll just seek it. And we'll have that attitude, teach me thy way. How'd the people cross over Jordan when it had overflown all his banks? How'd that happen? Nicholas?
above our stream stood at its top, rose up upon a deep part of the city Athens, and the water downstream failed to cook off between the ground and ground.
Had to be some sight, wouldn't it? What an awesome sight. Wouldn't you like to have been there to have witnessed that? And that allowed the Israelites to pass over on what? Dry ground. Was that a miracle or is that just some kind of natural occurrence? Kathy? How do you know that was a miracle? What in the text itself indicates miraculous activity? What'd you pick up on, Lila? Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam is beside Zeratan. Those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea filled, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. What else? Cadence? In the midst of the Jordan. And they stood firm on what? Dry ground. Okay. What else? Shows the Lord was involved. Verse 13. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. How about something else, Nicholas? Okay, John. All right. What about verse 5? When Joshua said, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, the Lord will do what? Wonders among you. Who? The Lord. What's a wonder? It's another word for miracle. And the Lord said unto Joshua, verse 7, and Joshua in verse 9 said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. That shows that this was all of the Lord. What was done with the 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan? Richard?
There was 12 men that were assigned to pick those 12 stones up. They were carrying them on their shoulders. They were placing them where they would be lodging. There they come. They camped to go down there where they were set up.
All right. Verse 7 says in the last part of that, these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. It's one of the Bible memorials. God's instituted different memorials, and these stones were memorial stones. We use stones today, don't we, as memorials. And these were designed to be a sign. Verse 6 says, in time to come, when your children ask what? Yeah, what mean ye by these stones? And then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. Verse 7. So it served as a reminder of the Jordan River crossing. What did the Lord do that day in the sight of all Israel? Jared? Magnified Joshua, verse 14. When did the Jordan crossing take place? Pete? That's exactly right. 10th day, first month, 419. What effect did hearing about this have on the Canaanites? Becky? You know, there are different kind of hearts in the Bible. The Bible talks about a melted heart. Has your heart ever melted? Their heart melted. 5:1. And it says, neither was there what in them? Spirit in them anymore. That's what happens to a person whose heart is melted. They've lost their spirit. When they heard about the river crossing, it had an impact on those people in the land. In chapter 5, circumcision was renewed and the Passover kept. Why did Joshua command that the children of Israel be circumcised? Daryl? Good. All those that had been born in the wilderness hadn't been circumcised. Evidently, during that wilderness wandering period, they had neglected the circumcision command. And so, in verse 5, all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. There's a statement in verse 6 that tells why the men of war that came out of Egypt were consumed in the wilderness. Why was that? Yeah, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. What does that tell you? What does that teach you? You better obey, right? Disobedience would cause them to be consumed. And that will be our downfall as well. The children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, according to verse 10, and kept what? The Passover. What's special or significant about this Passover keeping? Jason? It's the first one in the new land, in the promised land. And it comes 40 years after their fathers first kept it in Egypt. What ceased? Manna. They ate manna for 40 years, didn't they? And now what are they eating, John? The fruit of the land. Chapter 5, verse 12. Wouldn't that have been something? To go from feeding on manna to the fruit of the land. And you remember the fruit of the land when the spies came back? They brought grapes, pomegranates, figs. An angel appeared to Joshua, verses 13 through 15. Good question in verse 13. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he is told, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is what? Holy. Who else stood on holy ground? Moses, in Exodus 3 and verse 5. Standing on holy ground. Make a good study. Next, the conquest of Jericho. This happened by what? By faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews pointed out in Hebrews 11 and verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Jericho was the gift of God. God said, I've given into thine hand Jericho, verse 2. Might circle that word given. The text shows that there were conditions necessary for the people to receive it. What were those conditions? They had to march. How many times did they march around the city? 13. Once a day for 6 days and 7 times on the seventh day. And then what? Blow and shout. And what's going to happen? That shows that God's gifts are given conditionally. Today you read of the gift of God, eternal life. And what people think, that's a gift, and so you don't have to do anything to receive it. God's gifts have always been given conditionally. Jericho was a gift, but they had to do some things to receive it. They had to march, and they did that in silence. And then on the seventh day, seventh time around, they'd blow and shout. And the Lord would give them the city. This is an example of what at work? Nicholas? The foolishness of God, right? 1 Corinthians 1:25. If you were in an army and you're going to take a city and the commanding officer said, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to march around the city 13 times and then we're going to blow and shout and the wall's going to come down. They might laugh you out of the army. Right? They say, that's a bunch of what? Foolishness. Some people ridicule God's plan. That's foolishness. But it worked. And it was accomplished by faith. Today, folks think being baptized is foolish. They ridicule that. To be saved, you're going to be immersed in water. What does that have to do with being saved? But he that believeth is baptized should be saved. It works. Daryl? Some ridicule salvation in one body, reconciled in one body. That's foolishness to think that there's just one church. Lots of things could be said about that. Who only is allowed to live? That's exactly right. Why is that? Because she hid the messengers. And those that were with her in her house met the conditions, right? They had the scarlet line. They were in the house and they had not said a word about it. And thus, by faith and works, saved from the destruction of Jericho, right? Hebrews 11:31. James 2:25. What were they to keep themselves from in the taking of Jericho, John? The accursed thing. What's another word for accursed? Devoted. These things were devoted to the Lord. Leviticus 27 and verse 28 fits right here when the Lord said, notwithstanding, no devoted thing. That a man should devote in the Lord of all that he hath, both the man and beast, and of the field of his possession should be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord. These were devoted. These were most holy unto the Lord. They were to come into what? The treasury of the Lord, verse 19. All the silver, gold, vessels of brass, and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So they are to keep themselves from those things. They're not to take those things. They belong to who? The Lord, right? Did the children of Israel obey that or did they commit a trespass? What happened there? Achan took of the accursed thing, chapter 7, verse 1. And verse 21 shows what he did. He said, I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I, what sin led to the taking of the accursed thing? Covetousness, the sin of covetousness. I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. What do you read? When you read all that, that transpired with the taking of the accursed thing, what do you learn from that? Becky? Be satisfied with what you have. Jason? God punishes disobedience. Pete? He'd listen to God. As it said in the book of Numbers, chapter 32 and verse 23, your sin will find you out. Sin found Achan out, and it'll find us out. You can't hide from God. You can't hide your sin from the Lord, can you? Adam and Eve couldn't do it. Achan couldn't do it. And you can't either. Neither can I. Your sin will find you out. If not in this life, where? He'll catch up with you at the judgment. When every secret thing is revealed. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Joshua 22, 20 also mentions this, and you learn that wrath fell on who? As a result of this one man and what he had done. Does it mention the whole congregation? Nicholas? And he perished not alone. He perished not alone. So you learn that sin has consequences that affect others, right? The consequences of sin are felt by others. You see that today, don't you? Take a fella that is intoxicated and he gets behind the wheel of an automobile and he crashes into another vehicle and other innocent people lose their lives. And so what he did affected other people. And the consequences of Achan's actions affected other people. It's a ripple effect. And so we have to think about what we do and how it affects other people. Sometimes innocent people suffer because of the sins of individuals. What man did Joshua say would be cursed? The man that what, Jared? Riseth up and buildeth Jericho. That happened, didn't it? During the kingdom divided period, 1 Kings 16:34. What was said would happen, happened. Next, Ai was taken. You remember Israel was defeated by Ai when sin was in the camp in chapter 7. 36 men died in that battle. But with that removed, the sin in the camp's been put away. Israel now goes forth and conquers Ai in chapter 8. So a little lesson learned from that is sin will defeat and destroy us. Right? Sin will defeat and destroy us. The Lord said to Joshua in the taking of Ai, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. In chapter 8 and verse 1. It's a great statement. Compare that with Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8. The Lord said, or in the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then also in Joshua 10 and verse 25, Joshua said, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So these are statements that have been made before and be made after. This statement that was made when the Lord said, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. There was a stratagem whereby Ai was taken. It was a plan or a scheme to trick them, right? John, you want to tell about that? That's called an ambush, verse 2. When they were drawn away from the city and the city was set on fire. What great principle set forth in verse 8? Nicholas? You ought to highlight that. According to the command of the Lord, shall ye do. Next, we find the people of Mount Ebal, Joshua 8, 30 to 35, matches Deuteronomy 27. Got to put those two together. Joshua built what? An altar in the Lord. What was written upon stones? Copy of the law of Moses. And upon Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, you had what? Yeah, the blessings and the curses. That's a great public scene when He read all the words of the law, the blessings and curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversing among them. Joshua 8, 34 and 35. Next, we read where leagues were formed. A great league of kings was formed against Israel in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The inhabitants of Gibeon attained a league with Israel. How'd they do that? Wilily or deceitfully, right? Verse 4. In verse 22, they were said to beguile us. They made as if they had come from a far country. And they asked not counsel at whose mouth? The Lord. It shows the importance of asking counsel of the Lord. Verse 14. And how that was handled is a reminder of honoring oaths. Verse 18, the children of Israel smote them not because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. They said, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them because of the oath which we swear. Verse 20, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, made a league with the kings of Hebron against who? Gibeon, chapter 10. And Israel came to the help of Gibeon. They said, come help us. Who fought for Israel? The Lord did, didn't he? Verse 11, remember, the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. What about the moon and the sun? There's a day the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people avenged themselves upon the enemies. Verse 13. Verse 14 says, the Lord fought for Israel. Verse 19, the Lord your God hath delivered them into your hand. Verse 30, the Lord delivered. Verse 32, the Lord delivered. Verse 42, the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. What was the fate of those five kings? Joshua smote them and slew them, hanged them on five trees in verse 26, and then they're taken down off the trees and cast into the cave wherein they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, verses 26 and 27. This great battle was followed by conquest in verses 28 through 43. It's said, Joshua left, how many? None remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breathed, verse 40. And in that one campaign, Joshua subdued the southern half of Palestine. Jabin formed a league against Israel with all the kings of the north. Their army was as the sand upon the seashore, multitude, horses and chariots, very many, but the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel. Verse 8. Chapters 11, 15 through 12, 24 gives a summary of Israel's conquest. Took place about how long? About 5 years. And Joshua said to have left how much undone? Nothing. Nothing. Joshua 11, 20 points out it was of the Lord. And what could not be found in the land? No Anakims. No Anakims. You have the division of the land. Chapter 13 talks about the inheritance of the 2.5 tribes, the inheritance of the 9.5 tribes in chapters 14 through 19, the tribe of Judah and Joseph, which was divided among Ephraim and Manasseh, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Simeon, Zebulun, Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, and Dan. And Joshua received the city in Mount Ephraim, Timnath-Serah. Then you have the cities of refuge and the Levitical cities. How many cities of refuge were there? Six of them, three on east and west side of the river. And the purpose was, according to verse 9, that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenge your blood until he stood before the congregation. Read about those in chapter 20. Where else do you read about those cities? Exodus 21:13, Numbers 35, and Deuteronomy 19. The Levites received 48 cities, and a key statement in connection with the Levitical cities is in verses 43 to 45. It's one of the key statements of the whole book, Joshua 21, 43 to 45. The Lord gave unto Israel all the land, and they possessed it. All came to pass. Don't forget that. The land promise was fulfilled. Then you've got the return of the 2.5 tribes in chapter 22. You remember the altar called Ed? Did you know there's an altar called Ed? It was an altar of what? What's Ed mean? Witness, witness. Verse 27, 28 and 34. Then you have Joshua's speeches, his first address in chapter 23. And you can summarize that in verse 6. Here's the summary of that great address. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. And note again, verse 14. Not one thing hath failed. All are come to pass. The book of Joshua shows that God keeps his promises. And then his second address in chapter 24 could be summarized in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. It was on this occasion Joshua gathered all the tribes where? To Shechem. That's the place where Abraham and Jacob built and erected altars unto the Lord generations before. Genesis 12 and 33. And notice his appeal. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What he set up under an oak? A great stone, verse 26. And it was a witness. Might make a study sometime. Bible witnesses. A great stone was a witness. An altar called Ed was a witness. And you can think of other witnesses of the Bible. Deaths and burials, the book closes with in chapter 24. The death and burial of Joshua. How old was he? 110, buried in Mount Ephraim. And this bright period of history is crowned by the record. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Where else can you find such a generation as this? A faithful generation. There was the burial of Joseph's bones. You remember those bones? Taken up out of Egypt. Genesis 50, that's a great statement of faith when he made a statement about his bones, Hebrews 11, 22, and they're buried in Shechem, verse 32. And then the death and burial of Eleazar, who was he? Aaron's son, right? Third son of Aaron, high priest. Remember the scene, Numbers 20, when he went up with Aaron, his father, in the mount, and what was taken from him, Aaron, and put on his son, his clothing. And Moses and Aaron and Eleazar went up, and who came back? Moses and Eleazar. Quite a scene. So things passed from father to son on that occasion. And he was buried in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, in Mount Ephraim. And thus you have the book of Joshua. The name Joshua means God is Savior, Jehovah is salvation. His name in the New Testament is translated Jesus. Acts 7:45, Hebrews 4:8. When you read those passages, you see Jesus, that's Joshua, not Jesus the Christ, but Joshua. He's a type of Christ, though, who came to save his people from their sins and lead his people to their promised land. Through Joshua, the people conquered Canaan, and through Christ, we are more than conquerors. Appreciate you being with us in this study. Lord willing, next time, Judges and Ruth. Judges and Ruth. Ruth belongs to the period of the Judges, so we'll look at those together. Judges and Ruth. Thank you for being with us.